This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, hi everyone, it's Simon Smart. I'm joined tonight by Mick Martin. Now, Mick is the lead pastor at the Upper Room Church Community in North Sydney, and he's coming to talk about one of his favourite topics, consumerism. And in the lead up to Christmas, this seems like an especially relevant thing to discuss. Welcome, Mick.
Thanks, Simon. Good to be here.
Mick, credit cards get a bit of a pounding at this time of year. Is that a good thing?
Suppose if you're a credit card provider or a retailer or one of the banks, it's a good thing.
That's good news for you if people are spending.
Exactly. And it's not a bad thing to get the credit card out from time to time and do a bit of spending. But I think when it tips over into excessive spending and spending that takes us beyond what we can actually afford, then it can be a pretty bad thing in all sorts of ways. Mm. It can have a really bad impact on families and family budgets and
Yeah. Now, you've got a few, we've talked about this before, but you've got some concerns in this area of consumerism, the way we consume, the amount we're consuming, what it says about ourselves and what we're trying to do. What are your main concerns in this area?
Well, I think it's that excessiveness of consumption is one thing, the fact that we consume way more than the planet can really sustain. And I've heard some statistics, and these vary a little bit, but that you get the general picture. But one example would be that if every person in the world, every person on the planet, was to have the same standard of living as the average middle-class Australian or American or maybe European, we'd need 5 planet Earths to sustain that.
Right.
So we live at a level of consumption which can only be sustained if most of the people on the planet don't get to enjoy the same standard of living that we get. I think we don't often stop to think about that. We take for granted the standard of living we have, and we're always looking to up the ante on that, which usually means more and more consumption. So that's one thing. I think another thing about consumerism, and it's more consumerism, I think, than consumption in this case, but consumerism has become a way of life for people that becomes all about how they define themselves and how they value themselves, how they see themselves. And so people are constantly looking to buy that next thing that's going to make them feel okay about who they are and that presents them to the world as somebody who's acceptable and valuable. You know, so I think there's that aspect of it as well.
There's the idea that by consuming or by buying this particular product, it's going to fill a bit of a gap in my life. It's the promise of what it can offer.
Well, that's the whole modus operandi of consumerism, driven by advertising and the like, is to create in us a sense of deficit. You know, there's something lacking, that we're missing something, and then to make the promise that lack will be fulfilled if we buy a certain product. And so we go and buy the product hoping to fill the void, if you like, and then find that the void's still there, and so we go looking for the next one. And we're just constantly on this constant spiral. It's like a rat on a wheel, you know, trying to find this elusive fulfillment through consumerism, which is never going to deliver on that.
So it's like an oasis. You can never actually get to where you think you're going to get.
Yeah, the promise is an empty one. That's not where we're going to find our fulfillment in just buying stuff.
Why do you think it's so hard to break this spell? Because my sense is that even when you're aware of it and you're trying to be different from this, it still has this very powerful allure.
It does. You know, even if you start thinking this way a little bit critically about the whole thing of consumerism, it's still very hard to break the psychological habits, I guess, that lead us to consume. And I think partly because our whole society is being geared around that. You know, there are huge forces at work in our society to make us think this way. And it's not just a matter of thinking. It goes beyond rational thinking. It actually goes to the seat of our emotional desires. And there's a very interesting documentary series called The Century of the Self, which was made by a guy called Adam Curtis maybe about 10 years ago, BBC documentary. And he looked at how in the early 20th century and throughout the 20th century, the theory of psychoanalysis, Sigmund Freud's theories of psychoanalysis, were adopted and used to generate consumption in large populations, in democratic populations. And the basic idea was that within human beings are these desires and primal sort of drives, if you like, that can be manipulated towards getting us to buy stuff.
It seems to have worked especially successfully.
Well, it has. And if you watch the series, if you get to watch that documentary sometime, you'll find it's quite compelling. And you realise, these are very powerful forces at work in our society, in our culture. And so even though we might rationally understand that, look, I can't keep spending this much, I can't afford to buy all this stuff, it doesn't really make me a better person if I have a better car or a better hi-fi or a better phone. But we still have these deeper subconscious, I guess.
It's almost subliminally it gets into my system that I feel a lack. I feel like if I get to buy that particular car, you roll up in your new Subaru Outback and I think, gosh, that's fantastic. And wouldn't it be great to have that?
Exactly, yeah.
And I can't stop thinking about it.
Exactly,
now.
Yeah.
Right.
I read another good book on this too. It's Alan de Botton's Status Anxiety, and there was a TV series around that too. And he made the observation that when it comes to this stuff, we don't judge our position in the world on the basis of where we stand in relation to the whole of the world's population. We determine our status, which we see as being reflected in our material wealth. We determine that by our peers. You know, so as soon as the guy next door gets a new car, we feel inadequate because ours is, doesn't matter that 92% of the global population doesn't even own a car of any description.
You know, has no hope of owning a car.
Exactly. The fact that you might drive the worst bomb, but you're still right up there in terms of world population.
I wonder, Mick, is this a case of us making an idol out of material things in the sense that we put our ultimate trust in these things? And at this time of year, coming up to Christmas, what do you advise people in your congregations, in your meetings, when it comes to this sort of thing?
Yeah, I think it is a case of idolatry, if you like, that we put material goods, we put money and wealth as where we put our hope. You know, that's what we put our hope and our trust in, and I guess there's all sorts of evidence for that. But one of the things we're doing in our church community in Christmas time particularly is trying to just bring the focus back to what is really important to us. You know, and as Christians, of course, Christmas is all about, or is meant to be all about, remembering the birth of Jesus. And not just the birth of Jesus, though, in the sense of, oh, isn't it nice, the little baby in the manger with the sheep and the shepherds and the stars and the angels. You know, not that romanticized kind of imagery around Christmas, but everything all the meaning that's packed into the nativity, you know, the Jesus coming into the world and what he represented. That's the beginning of his life, but Christmas, I think, is about remembering the whole of what Jesus was about. And interestingly, one of the first things Jesus said in public as an adult was, I've come to proclaim good news to the poor. And we've made Christmas, we've kind of perverted Christmas, I guess, because it's become this celebration of consumerism, and we've totally forgotten the poor. And we might throw a few bucks at the salvos or something. But so one of the ways we're trying to get back to the core meaning of Christmas and what Jesus was about is we're getting on board with a campaign called the Advent Conspiracy. And a bunch of churches in the States a few years ago were having the same kind of reaction to the Christmas thing, excess consumption and people running around frantically buying gifts for this person, that person, and going into all sorts of debt. And they said, look, let's try and get back to what this is really all about. And they came up with the idea of, what if we spend less money on gifts? What if instead of going and buying shirt that that person doesn't need, or that extra toy that your kid doesn't need, you know, it's like with kids and toys, you know, they more than they know what to do with, spend less on them and maybe give a more relational gift, you know, give a gift of time or make something with your own hands and, you know, do something creative and make that your gift, which is much more personal. It's more of a gift of yourself. And then with the money that you might have spent on toys and clothes and socks and, you know, give that to the poor or somebody else who needs it. And so they started this campaign. In the first year, they raised a whole bunch of money. I think it was about $500,000. I might be wrong, but something of that order. And they put it into water projects. You know, so they're digging wells all over the developing world.
It's a very positive initiative
to take
the sense of Christmas back to what it ought to be about.
Exactly. And it's still all about giving, but it's not giving in this excessive extravagant and
wasteful
way. Exactly, that's the word for it.
Okay, thanks, Mick. Well, there's more to say about this. Let's pick it up again next time. We're looking at consumerism in the lead up to Christmas. I look forward to having your company with us next time.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.